I'm David Schreiner Kahn, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I talk to on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep people stuck. We've had over 150 episodes since we started Smashing the Plateau. We're now a few months into the new year, and we're trying something new. It's a mini-series with new episodes where I'll be talking about business issues that I've been thinking about for a long time. I've been inspired by seeing an upsurge of dangerous trends in the business world. We'll talk about these trends, and you'll see a theme. Guests will tie into those themes. I really want to hear how you like our experiment. I always enjoy hearing from you, our listeners. Please email me. My email is david@smashingtheplateau.com. Also, connect with me on LinkedIn. If you like what you hear, please share this episode with your colleagues and friends. I would really appreciate that. I know your time is precious, and I want to thank you for taking the time to join us today. Today, I'm pleased to welcome Brian Califano and Scott Margolin. Brian was a previous guest on Smashing the Plateau on episode 134, and Brian and Scott are both co-founders of Accelerating CFO, a New York contract CFO consulting firm that allows business owners to benefit from over 40 years of senior Fortune 500 experience. Now, I'm really excited to have Brian and Scott on because I know they both have lots of experience in the big corporate space dealing with organizational issues that happen in that arena. And also in their current business, they deal with small businesses, which is in lots of ways a kind of a different animal. And since they focus on the numbers, they know really clearly and really quickly what works and what doesn't work in a business. And in particular, when we're talking about what kinds of help the business owners need, they I suspect they're going to have a lot to say about what works in terms of help and advice and what they see as being kind of a not such a great investment. So that being said, Brian and Scott, welcome to the show. It's great to have you on.
Thanks for having us, David.
Before we kind of get into the nitty-gritty, do you want to say anything about kind of what you're doing now, particularly what specialty you're working on, you work in, and what kinds of things you generally see in your work?
Yeah, sure, David. I'll take that. Scott and I, a major focus these days is helping our the entertainment, media, and technology companies. So what Scott and I do, we provide CFO services for companies, small and medium-sized companies that can't justify hiring a full-time CFO but need the finance partner to help the entrepreneur steer through tricky times. It's kind of like what we're going through today with the stock market slumping and PE investors and such are clamoring to get their money back and finding ways to return some of their capital sooner rather than later. Companies are turning to us to really help them find hidden monies or hidden pots of gold, as we like to call it, in their P&L, whether they're spending too much money or they're not raising enough revenue because of their pricing plans or lack of diversity in their product lines. And we also help them get new investments. I mean, in this day and age, it's kind of tough right now. I mean, it was 6 months ago, we wouldn't have said that. But with the economic environment the way it is now, a lot of people are starting to get a little spooked out, and they're starting to pull back on some investments or think twice or three times before actually putting money into a company. So people hire Accelerating CFO to help them attract some of the dollars that's out there. So that's primarily what we're working on right now.
Well, that's great, Brian. So thank you. So that being said, you know, a lot of business owners either have coaches or turn to business coaches for help. Sometimes they look for people who can help in the areas you just described that that have a very heavy financial emphasis on them. And sometimes they look for coaching help in with other aspects of their business. But before we kind of get into the details, I wondered if you might share any thoughts you have about why business coaching has become such a massive industry.
For me, I think that there's a couple factors. I think number one, going through the Great Recession created opportunity for folks to reconsider how they work and what they want to do. So I think there's that. I also think that, the idea of the workplace has changed. So technology has enabled folks to work virtually and be your own boss from everywhere for the most part. So I think those are two aspects that sort of created some of this. I also think, the life movement or the yogis and that being a trend and, looking inward rather than outward is also a force that's driving sort of the, I can be my own boss, I can coach, I can do it from anywhere. So combined, those three facets, I think, have created a pool that, many statistics will say is between $2 and $3 billion industry in the coaching side.
Yeah, and the only thing I'll add to that is, and you can call yourself a life coach or a business coach. Just after, there's no formal training for it. I mean, you have people who will certify you, and there's organizations that will say after 6 months, congratulations, you're now certified to be a life coach, whatever that means. And unfortunately, you have people out there that are coming through crossroads, and when they hear about life coaches. And that more and more people are doing it, it kind of becomes a trend. And, hey, all right, well, Jim down the block is using a life coach. I should use the same thing. So I think it's also a big remedy too. Whereas, like Scott and I are both CPAs, we're certified by New York State. We have a test that we have to pass, and we have to have a certain level of competence in our fields and continue that education as we go along. Life coaches are not nearly as strenuous in having the same certification.
So with that in mind, what's the evidence that coaching may not be giving as much help as business owners need?
Well, I think you see it, for example, in areas of just companies that are starting new. Like you have a lot of people that are in transition, and you have a lot of people who are looking for guidance or looking for that next step. And, even though the unemployment levels right now, you look at the hard numbers and they seem to be going lower, the fact of the matter is that the quality of those jobs have declined significantly. So, for example, back in the, you go back 4 or 5 years ago when the unemployment rate was a little bit higher, 7.5% or so, that was before people really came back and said, well, they exhausted their unemployment benefits. And then they said they're out of the workforce, so they took lesser jobs or work on their own. So you end up having a statistic where people are dropping down and becoming, where the unemployment level now, I believe, is below 6%. It might be like 5.8 or 5.9. But my point in saying all that is that sometimes the statistics don't really belie itself, because even though, like Scott mentioned, it's a $2 or $3 billion industry, the reality is that there's not much productivity behind it. There's not much that you can stand behind and say, this is the result of a business coach, or this is the result of a life coach. And I think that the reason why it's become so popular is that it's very hard to track it. It's hard to say that you dispute it or not dispute it. It's a lot of this qualitative, feel good, great good, pass it along, and whatever trite expression that you can come up with, that's what happens. So it's hard to, when you get a business coach and a life coach, when you get them in a room one-on-one, they'll tell you, you seem much happier today. Why is that? Well, I don't know. You just told me. Okay, so therefore go in peace. I mean, those are conversations that we've heard people have in the past regarding life coaches. So I think it's because there is a lack of hard statistics, and there's a lack of tangible return on investment that makes it very difficult to both pin down and call them out on their lack of delivery.
Brian, you're making an interesting point also, which is how do you quantify happiness?
Exactly, you don't. I don't. You can't quantify happiness. It's a state of mind. So when people, in all lines of business, when you spend money on marketing, you can track marketing and figure out, okay, this is your return on investment. So I spent $25,000 on the print ad. And as a result, I got 10 phone calls. And those 10 phone calls led to two leads. And those two leads yielded, you know, an annual income of $7,500 a month for the next 6 months. So you can look back and say, yeah, you know what, the money was worth it. Hiring a life coach doesn't prove anything. It really just either puts you in a good state or it doesn't put you in a good state. And I think, or it doesn't do anything for you is our contention. And there's I have a very hard time. You know, I know that I know that I'm very analytical in the way I look at things. So when you tell me that you have a life coach or a business coach or, you know, strategy or ops, it's just very, you know, I start to get a little pit in my stomach because I say to myself, all right, well, what could possibly come of this? You know, what tangible benefit comes from it other than having lunch with somebody that maybe is a good conversationalist?
Yeah, Scott, did you want to add something?
Yeah, I mean, you know, compounding it, again, back to Great Recession is, you know, people have issues they want solved, and not everyone is sure of how to solve their problems. You know, businesses trying to recover out of 08-09, trying to dig out of it, are left with some rubble, and they're seeking advice and help. You know, those that are less educated will turn to someone offering help, and those, you know, seeking advice will, you know, sign up for that. So I think the recession has created a pool on one hand, but it's also created a need on the other.
So how do you tell, if you know that you need some kind of help, how do you tell what kind of help you should be seeking and where to go?
Well, I think that's the hard part. I don't think a lot of businesses know. I think when businesses take a hard look of what their issues are, you know, I'll speak for Brian, should seek specialists in those areas that are creating issues for them. So if you are unhappy with your marketing, or you're spending a ton of money on your marketing and you don't really see it driving any leads, you should seek someone else that's in marketing rather than a business coach to help you with that. If you're having operational problems with employees and employee turnover is high, you should seek a human resources specialist. If your taxes that you're paying on your business are extraordinarily high, why not seek a tax advisor? These are very specified areas that I'm calling out. And there's, I think, those that are generalists, you know, aren't going to be very effective for any business. So I think business owners should take a really hard look at and compartmentalize what their issues are and figure out what type of specialist is going to help solve these issues individually, rather than get a generalist in to help guide the ship.
Have you, Scott, seen some examples of people who have reached out to coaches who have made a significant investment of either time and or money and have come away with less than stellar results?
Yeah, I mean, I have many examples, but one that's fairly recent is I know a woman who runs a marketing business. She founded the business several years ago. It has started to grow. She acquired a business coach who has limited experience. And she would meet with her once a quarter. So my first question to her was, how much are you getting out of this coach meeting every 3 months? Is there reporting going to her? Like, what sort of information is being passed around? And she said, no, you know, that only takes place when we meet. We just had the conversation as to what is she getting out of this? And she said, you know, it feels good, as Brian said, it feels good when she's here and she gives me all this advice, but there's no follow-up. There's no specificity. You know, she speaks in euphemisms, and she's spent, you know, she's got 2 years of potentially working capital that's down the drain now, you know, from being tied in with this coach, but she didn't know who else to talk to. And she didn't have anybody with very specific advice, you know, to help her in the past. So again, this is, I think it's a travesty, and I think this is what happens. And I go back to, you know, getting a specialist.
Yeah. And I guess another example I'm going to, if I could provide, Dave, is, you know, we had a client, that was a, he provided, he was a distributor. He was in the construction area, and he, you know, it was funny because when we were in the process of bidding for his business, and as we were bidding on it, he said he, you know, we gave a free diagnostic for him, and we looked at his expenses. There was something in there, professional expenses. I didn't really look into it. And we said, you know, we could probably cut expenses there. And he goes, oh, no, there's certain amounts in there that you can't cut. And I said, oh, all right, well, what's so sacrosanct that you can't do it? And he said, well, it's my business coaches in there. I said, oh, that's interesting. I'm not going to divulge how much he spent per month, but it was definitely at least as much, if not more, than the retainer that we would have been given to him, that we were charging. And I said to him, all right, well, if you're trying to find a budget for us, you know, this could be a good place to start. His reply was, no, I can't. So then I said, all right, well, let me ask you a question. What direct benefit does this person have in your business? You know, and he paused. And he started saying, well, you know, it kind of helps my top line. I go, well, how much was it? 10%, 20%? He goes, well, can't really say it's that much, but, you know, he also helps me think things through. And I go, well, how does he help me think things through? He says, well, you know, every time, you know, whenever I call him, he comes right over. And the cynic in me said, because he's come right over because there's nothing else to do, because he's just sitting around waiting for your phone call. But I didn't say that. but when this gentleman came into the room with him, he would basically bounce ideas off him, and he goes, and every time I walked out of there, I said I felt better. And then I ended up doing what I originally set out to do, and you know, that helped my business. And I said, all right, well, so basically what you're telling me is that you had an idea, you're paying somebody to listen to your idea, tell you that it's a good idea, and he goes forth. And you go do what you had to do, you were already going to do to begin with. And he goes, well, the way you put it, puts it cynical, but you know, that's kind of what happens. I go, well, has he ever refuted whatever you said to him? And he kind of thought about it, and he goes, no, not really. He goes, but that just kind of reinforces that I'm doing the right thing. And I said, all right, well, you know, needless to say, we didn't get that job, because frankly, anybody who thinks like that is not really the business minded people we want to go to. But that's the kind of, unfortunately, that's the kind of feedback that people get when they have these life coaches and these generalists that we're speaking about.
So why do you think the truth hasn't come out about what's really taking place at the ground level?
I think part of it is because of that results have been pretty good. So, you know, the economy over the past couple of years, you know, post-recession has been okay. So companies and people have had more money that they can generally spend. So spending it on those areas, you know, generally, you know, makes them feel good, and they're not, you know, they don't have any really tight budgetary, you know, stuff to do. They don't have any real tough decisions to make. So therefore, they're spending it and they're doing okay. I think, you know, if we ever come on tough times or times where, you know, the increases, while modest, are going to start to decline, you know, to closer to zero or go negative, I think the logical place would be that this area should be the first area that ends up getting cut spending-wise. But that's probably that's the way I see it.
So is it fair to say that both of you see coaching as an industry that could be helpful if the clients receiving the coaching have a quantifiable game plan where success metrics are very clear? There's a timetable for measuring them, and the results get reviewed on a regular basis.
Yeah, I mean, you hit all the points that would matter to us. I think, again, having some quantifiable benchmark as to what the actions of the company need to be and what the actions of the coach need to be, I think those are fine. I also think there needs to be some credibility that this coach has the relevant experience to help you. Again, you know, there's not any standard for them. There's, you know, career history is, I think, very important as to what they've done in their career. And I think that's very important in choosing anybody that does this kind of work. But that, along with quantifiable benchmarks, I think would, you know, should be a good fit.
Now, that being said, have you seen some types of either individual coaches or programs where those kinds of structures and metrics are built in, where participants do seem to gain benefit and make quantifiable improvements in their businesses as a result?
Well, I'll be biased and say that, you know, when you hire somebody like us that's financially driven, it definitely points you in the right direction. Because, you know, when we attack this, like when Scott and I were in their shoes. So when we were senior execs at various Fortune 500 companies, like you pointed out in your introduction, you know, we had to come up with a game plan to either cut expenses, raise top line, or in most cases, both. And you had to do more with less. And the only way you were able to do it is if you start from the ground up. So as much as you like to have people come in their ivory tower or in their, you know, the Prince Charming coming in on his horse to tell you what the right answer is, the fact of the matter is that you need people who advise you. Because not because it seems the right thing to do or the trendy thing to do, it's because they've been in the trenches and they've done the duties. They fought the battles that the entrepreneurs have fought and therefore have done that. The programs that we've seen people succeed at are the ones who, to use a trite expression, walk the walk and talk the talk. I think when you have people who just espouse and theorize and talk on their soapbox but have no real any real merit behind their words or any background behind their words, it doesn't really have much behind. There's not much teeth behind it. That's the word I'm looking for. So to answer your question, those are the ones that are most successful. I mean, other than the game plan that Scott and I do at, I haven't necessarily seen, at least at our clients, another game plan or another approach that works like ours.
Nope.
Have you seen any difference between people who are in programs on their own as individuals with coaches versus being in a group with peers?
So like a mastermind type setting? Look, I'm biased, and Brian and I are both involved in mastermind groups. I think it's been very effective for me personally. So on a personal level, having a safe haven to air your concerns and get constructive feedback from, you know, a selected group of business people that have done what you need to do, provided they're at the level where you want to get to, rather than, you know, you're above the level where you need to be. So I think that's where a mastermind group is effective, is there's some climbing that you want to do and you're speaking to those people. One-on-one, I haven't really done that on, you know, in this business. I think it would be effective, you know, to sit down with somebody that is reviewing your goals, but I think it would be better if it was a much smaller organization. Maybe it's a one-man shop or one-woman shop and you're going one-on-one with another person, but, you know, I'm a big believer in a mastermind group for, you know, a growing company.
Why do you think a mastermind is different than hiring an individual coach?
I think it's different because you're getting a lot of viewpoints. So there's a more balance in the room. You're not getting one opinion. You can form your own opinion based on the collective advice of the group. So again, the bigger the group, the better, I think. Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, Scott. Yeah, and I think one thing that Scott mentioned, I'll emphasize here, is that they've all been there and done that. And the way that it works, you know, the mastermind format is better because you have different perspectives, different industries from people of all walks of life. So it acts more as a board of directors rather than, you know, an individual coach. You know, the board of directors, when you go back to those mastermind meetings, you go with a problem and an issue. When you come back the next month, they come back and they say, hey, how is that issue going for you? And you give them feedback, you know, versus, you know, there's accountability there. And I think that's the major difference between, you know, the group environment of a masterminds versus the one-on-one environment. I mean, the one-on-one dynamic, if the individual receiving the coaching doesn't want to be held accountable for, and you don't have, and you have a coach that's, you know, getting paid every month, they may just, you know, throw their hands up and be like, okay, well, I'm gonna based on, you know, the client's always right, so I'm gonna do whatever that he or she wants me to do. When you have three or four or five people telling you what to do and holding you accountable, it's a different dynamic.
So, speaking to your issue about trying to find a mastermind where everyone is at a level above you, doesn't somebody have to be at the lowest level in the group?
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, there's always some climbing. You're always, I think, and to be very blunt, I think I'm in a excellent group. I knew it the day I was a guest in this group, and the dynamic in the group is, you have folks at an earlier stage of their company, and I'll include mine in that. And then you'll have some very senior folks, which you want to aspire to within the group. And so you have folks that are in creation mode, which is, let's say, my company, right? And then you have folks that are in exit mode, and they're contemplating an exit of their company, and some, you know, even into retirement. So I think having a real cross section of business life cycle within a mastermind group, I think, is uber important.
So going back to the what we talked about at the beginning, which is why there seem to be so many people struggling, and this huge increase in the number of coaches. You talked about the combination of the economy and this be your own boss mentality. So you have more and more people who may be mid-career or late in career who may have become unemployed within the last number of years and have gone out on their own. So somebody like that who maybe is intrigued by this idea of mastermind but has never been in one, how does a person like that find one, and how does a person like that find one that may be a good fit?
Well, there's two large organizations that have that essentially are mastermind groups. One of which is the Alternative Board, and another of which is Vistage. You know, both have their pros and cons, but they're two of the largest type of mastermind organizations. So I think that would be a good place for anyone to start.
That's great. Before we wrap up, Scott and Brian, is there anything else you want to add that you didn't describe earlier on about your work, or maybe what's coming up in the near future for the two of you?
The only thing we'll say is that, you know, you described it eloquently earlier, so thank you for that. Scott and I also host a podcast called The Prophets of Profit, where we talk with industry leaders and small, medium-sized businesses, and talk about issues that are contemplating in that world. You can find us on iTunes as well as on our website, which is acceleratingcfo.com. To find a little bit flavor about, you know, if you're hitting a particular issue, you can scan through the episodes and find out more about it. Scott, am I missing anything?
No, that's it. I mean, feel free to reach out to us if you need answers to your complex business problems.
So how can listeners learn more about you?
Again, through our website. Our Twitter handles at Accelerating CFO, and our website is probably the primary way to reach us.
So Scott and Brian, thank you again for taking the time to join us again today on Smashing the Plateau. I will put in a plug for your podcast. I was a guest on the podcast.
Yes.
It was a great conversation, and I know that I've listened to some of the other ones. They're very inspiring. So I encourage listeners to check that out in addition to going to the links that you just described. My guests today have been Brian Califano and Scott Margolin, co-founders of Accelerating CFO. Thank you again, Brian and Scott, for joining us.
Thanks,
David. Thanks so much.
Thank you for listening to Smashing the Plateau, the podcast produced by Tend Strategic Partners. I'm your host, David Schreiner-Kahn, and I really appreciate your taking the time to join me today. please connect with me on LinkedIn, and we can continue the discussion that we started today with Brian and Scott. If you like what you've heard, I would really appreciate it if you would share this episode with your friends and colleagues, and also if you would write a review on iTunes. Wasn't this a great discussion today about why so many professionals seem to be struggling in spite of all the gurus and experts who are ready to help? What has your experience been getting help when you've hit a plateau? If you want to talk with me about how to smash your plateau, email me, david@smashingtheplateau.com. Come back next week and listen as my guest, Debbie Keterer, shares what it's like when you feel all alone as an entrepreneur and you're not entirely sure whose side your business coach is really on. There's some great nuggets that Debbie shares with us. Thanks again for listening.